Deutschlandfunk Interview.
I think it's important for people to know that Breonna Taylor was a 26-year-old emergency medical worker who was shot 8 times, murdered by police in her bed when they kicked down the door to her home looking for someone who was already in police custody. So because of both a judicial mistake and the police's mistake, Breonna was murdered. And so this occurred on March 13th. So 3 months ago this weekend, you know, to this day, those officers have yet to be arrested for her murder. There have been no real consequences for those officers. And so people have been out in the streets for going on 17 consecutive days now. And they started this past Friday with a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week protest. So that's where we are right now. And folks are still demanding justice from both the mayor and the attorney general for Kentucky.
There were clashes with the police forces or with National Guard. I'm not exactly sure which ones that you experienced personally as well.
Yes. So on the second night of protests, my daughter and I and a dear friend of mine went down to the protest, and we got there at about 5:30 in the evening. So it was very still light outside. And people were, of course, taking direct action as they should, laying down in the street, holding their hands up, reciting chants, marching, everything that they should do to seek justice. And we were there for about 5 hours. And then all of a sudden, you had the Louisville Metro Police Department, the local police department, and the state police and the National Guard that the governor had sent to the city all just start lining around us, boxing us in. And we were extremely concerned about our safety because we knew there was no reason for that action. And before I knew it, Jasper, they started throwing tear gas at us, and people were being shot with pepper balls. And it was chaos because of the law enforcement, not because of the people who were protesting, but because of law enforcement. It was terrifying.
What do you make of this response by the police?
Well, part of it is trying to control Black bodies because, you know, the Breonna Taylor was a young Black woman who was murdered. And so Black people were outraged. We were done. We were tired of all of the killing of us by the people we pay to protect and serve us. And so part of it is trying to control us. The other part is really poor decision making by both the local mayor and our governor for the state, working together to send in the state police, the state troopers, and the National Guard. That was so unnecessary. People had very clear demands, and the mayor should have listened to the people and their demands. Instead, he wanted to try to silence us, to shut us down by bringing in all of these militarized law enforcement against his own people, the people who many of them voted him into office.
Now, as far as I know, meanwhile, the police chief in Louisville has been fired, and there's some discussion about different rules for police if they interact, for example, concerning warrants that are executed.
Yes.
Is that encouraging news for you?
Well, in all honesty, Jasper, the chief of police had already announced, because of all of this pressure, had already announced that he was going to resign on July 1st. And so the mayor fired him basically 29 days before he was going to resign anyway. So that's not something that is causing me and a whole lot of people cause to celebrate. The other is that, yes, people are definitely celebrating that the Louisville Metro Council that I used to serve on has no more no-knock warrants ordinance. So meaning that police will no longer be able to bust in your door without making themselves known. So that passed, and yes, people are celebrating. We also know that has to pass at the state level because Black people live all across Kentucky, and so we need to make sure that these no-knock warrants are no longer in practice anywhere in Kentucky. there are still demands. We still want the officers fired. We still have to, there are demands to defund the police because the police were designed to keep people enslaved. They really were not designed to ever protect and serve Black people. We saw how they attacked Black people during the civil rights movement with dogs. We saw how police were part of the Ku Klux Klan and publicly lynching pregnant Black women. They are not tools for justice for Black people.
So now, Attica, there's the call for reforms not only in Louisville, but all over the country and cities. In Minneapolis, the city council even demands to suspend the police department altogether and completely set up a new one. There are different initiatives for reforms in different cities and on different levels. There's some examples of a different kind of police and police interacting. Are you optimistic looking on this whole picture from Louisville that there is now a dynamic for real change?
Jasper, I am so, so grateful to the people across the world who have been marching and protesting and rallying in support of Black lives. And that pressure is causing cities and states across the United States to really reconcile with how policing is done in this country. And so, yes, I remain hopeful that we can have transformative change across this country if we continue to listen to the people who are most directly impacted by police violence, if we continue to listen to the communities that have been rising up for decades since the beginning of the creation of these hunters, these systems that weren't designed for us. So yes, Jasper, I remain hopeful because I'm seeing what these protests are leading to, and we've got to keep pushing. We cannot stop now. We got to keep going.
There have been police killings before. There has been police brutality. I'm asking myself, and many listeners may want to know, what do you think is different now?
Yes, I believe it's the conversion of a lot of factors. One of those factors is that, you know, in a 30-day period, we were inundated with video and audio of police murdering Black people and people who want to be police murdering Black people, whether it's Breonna Taylor, David McAtee here in Louisville, George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery. We were done. And so there's that. Which, you know, really is a testament to how people are bearing witness and making sure that if they are in a position to record, they record and they share so they can send the messages across to the masses. That's important. I will also say it's the convergence, Jasper, of people across the world standing up for and with us. And no one can ignore that. Everyone has made it impossible for any politician, for any decision maker to ignore what is happening in this moment. I also will say that a key component of all of this are that there are clear policy demands that all of the protesters are rallying around. And so no elected official can deny or ignore that there are clear policy steps that can be taken at both the local, state, and national level. Mm-hmm. So all of the convergence of all of that is what is getting us here now.
All right. And what are the specific policy demands that are on the table?
Definitely firing these officers immediately who murder with impunity Black people. And so we've seen that in places like Atlanta, where immediately the mayor there fired the officer over the weekend who shot a Black man who was running away from him, shot him in his back in cold blood. She immediately fired him, and the chief of police resigned. Another policy step has been the call to defund these police departments. Stop giving them, for example, in Louisville, two-thirds of our budget going to police and to militarizing police. Clear policy demands. Ending these no-knock warrants. Clear policy demands. School systems ending their contracts with law enforcement. These are all clear policy demands ending chokeholds and deadly physical restraints. So all of this, these are demands that are very clear. They're doable, and even if they're visionary, they are demands that must be made because we cannot allow ourselves to shrink in this moment and only ask for incremental change that will get us nowhere.
You've talked about the different levels. Police in the United States is organized on the local and regional level. We have the state level, the federal level, and they're picking up on this topic. The Democrats are making proposals, and the Senate Republicans are going to make proposals as well. They circle around officer misconduct, training and tactics, better reporting of cases involving injuries or death of people. So are the proposals by the Democrats, focus on training and de-escalation. How big is your hope that across the aisle there will be something like a compromise in the next couple of weeks?
DC is so dysfunctional that I'm not totally convinced that there will be compromise, unfortunately. And so that's why so much of this work has to happen at the local and state level as well, where we can see more immediate change. And so, you know, that's what gives me hope is the work that's happening at the local and state level. And I also know that some of the demands that are being made at DC don't go as far as what is being demanded at the local and state level, which is to defund the police, because you cannot train away hatred. You cannot train away racism. And so we've seen where officers have gotten de-escalation training and still end up murdering us. So training doesn't always work, especially if it's, you know, an 8-hour training, as if 8 hours one time is enough.
You're saying that don't wait for DC. Let's start at the local and the regional and the state level. So what is going to happen there the next month? What do you predict?
So what I anticipate will happen is that cities across the country are going to model what we've seen in Minneapolis, for example, and they're going to begin to have those serious conversations about what it means and what it looks like to defund police. We're going to continue to see more and more school boards, school districts across the country in their contracts with police. We're going to see more and more state-level policy around ending no-knock warrants, for example, and having independent investigations of police shootings. We're going to see more and more civilian review boards that have the ability to subpoena law enforcement. We're going to begin to see more and more cities and states look at these policy opportunities and begin to have these conversations and also move these conversations to real action.